Thank you, Duncan. Good morning. Well, it's great to have Brenda back with us today. It's great to have Johnny back with us. Yeah. And it's great to be in fellowship. Yeah. Steve and Brenda are with us again. So we didn't get a chance to say Happy New Year last week. So I just want you to look to somebody and just wish them a Happy New Year. Happy New Year, thank you. Happy New Year. But you know, it's quite amazing really, isn't it? We see the beginning of a new year as a new chapter. But do we actually ever stop to think that each day is the beginning of a new chapter? Because tomorrow isn't promised. Today is the promise. You know, and that's why it says, today we shall be glad and rejoice, because this is the day the Lord hath given us. And while we've still got air in our lungs, God's still got something he wants to do in our life. And over the last few weeks, obviously Advent got in the way, but we were talking about, I know it's a tough one, isn't it? You know, getting in the way.
Sorry, we had to have Christmas.
Yeah. Well, we did have to have Christmas. You know, I had to have my Christmas pudding. But no, the reality is we consider what Christmas is all about. And for me, and I know for so many of you, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of not always being with the ones we love. But fortunately, as we're here in Spain, we're part of a new family. We've got our own family here in Spain. And it's great to be, and it was great to be able to share that with people. But the point I was trying to get to was that we've been looking at the nature and the character of God. We've been looking at the names of God. Getting to know God better. And as Pat said last week, and Duncan said, knowing God, sharing God. That's the mantle of this year, that we're going to get to know God better and we're going to get to share God better. Well, how do we know God, and how are we able to know God, and how are we able to share who God is if we don't understand his character? So this is the essence of what we're looking at over the next few weeks, and we're going to rejoin the series that we started again, or started last year, should I say. So this week, we're going to be looking at Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. There we go. I'm just going to just test that I'm working, because there we go. The glitches are there. There we go. Look at that. Okay, I'm going back, so I'm going to talk. I just wanted to make sure we were working, because there's enough gremlins around. Yeah. And I think at the moment, you know, the enemy is having a field day amongst a lot of us. Yeah, there's a lot of things happening within the body of Christ at this moment in time. But Jesus has won the victory. And when we stand in the authority with the power that he left us when he ascended on high, we don't have to be overcome by the enemy. We've won the victory. Amen. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the fact that the Lord is here. The Lord is here. So I'm going to give a brief overview of what and where this particular scripture comes from. The scripture that we're going to look at today is from Ezekiel 48 verses 36. But I'm going to give a brief overview. God had a chosen people. We all know who the chosen people were, don't we? The Israelites. Yeah? The Jewish people. Yeah, God had promised them a land. It was God's desire to walk amongst his people. Right from the beginning of time, we hear that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, in the garden. It was God's desire. He created man to be in fellowship with him. So it was God's desire for his people to be given. And his people were taken into exile in the time of Moses. The Egyptians took them into exile. But God had promised them that he would give them the land. For 40 years they wandered around because of their disobedient heart. The journey that they were walking was 11 days. But for 40 years they walked around because of their disobedient heart. But God's desire was to bless his people. God's desire was to give his people the riches that were far beyond earthly riches. And so we see now that the Israelites have been given the land. Joshua took them into the land that they'd been promised. But unfortunately, because of their hard hearts, because of their disobedience, they kept falling short. But yet God continued to warn them. Throughout the Old Testament, we see warning after warning after warning after warning. But yet God never failed them. He never left them. Until eventually he said enough is enough. And he kicked them out of the land. He kicked them out. He allowed the Babylonians to take the land and to conquer Israel, to pull down the temple. We're talking some 2,700 years ago. They were taken into exile, the Babylonians. We read it in Daniel. But before that, we had the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, now Ezekiel. And God took Ezekiel up to the mountain and he gave him a vision of what was to be. A promise that had already been promised to them previously. But because they was in this land in exile, all that God's desire was that they would just accept him as the one true God instead of worshipping false idols and having such a hard heart. So Ezekiel has been taken up to the mountain. He then looks down and God gives him the vision of the new temple, of the new city, the city of Jerusalem. But yet their hard-heartedness prevented them from receiving that blessing. As we consider that, it reminded me of a story. It reminded me of a time in my life when I had a hard heart. You wouldn't believe it, but I had a hard heart. I was about 17 at the time, maybe a little bit earlier, 16. I wasn't able to drive, but I had a car. And my car was parked on my driveway. And because of my attitude, my mum told me, "Johnny, if you don't start to behave, you're going to be out. I'm going to lock the door and you ain't coming back in tonight." "But I don't need you." I had such a hard heart, an arrogant, obnoxious little man I was. You wouldn't believe that, would you, Betty? As I stand here now with these dimples. But the truth was, I had that hard heart and my mum kicked me out. But my brother decided he was going to throw my car keys out to me through the window. So I had to sleep in my car. All night I was uncomfortable. All night I was wrestling, tossing and turning. All because I wasn't prepared to say, "I'm sorry. Please let me back in, Mum." My stubbornness, my pride, my hard-heartedness wouldn't allow me to go back in. So I woke up in the morning and it was pitch black and I couldn't understand what was going on here. But what I failed to tell you, it was the middle of winter. And we had about a 2 foot of snow overnight. And the car was completely and utterly covered in snow. And there was I, wishing I was in a nice warm bed. There was I, like the Israelites, now wishing they were back in the promised land. There was me. But all it took was a bit of humility, me to say, "I'm sorry." So we're going to look at this scripture now. And it comes from from Ezekiel 48, 36. And this was God's vision. Modern technology. There we go. The distant all around will be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord Is There. Or in Hebrew, it was Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord is here. It translates. But what we have to consider when we look at this city was magnificent. Or this city will be magnificent. Yeah? It had four outer walls, all of which had three gates. Three to the north, three to the east, three to the west, and three to the south. Back to front, but there you go. You know what I mean. Each gate represented one of the tribes of Judah. Yeah, am I right? There you go. I'm getting the approval. Of which God had ordained this. This city wall was going to be 18,000 cubits. For those that don't understand what a cubit is, okay, each side of the wall would be around about a mile and a half long. In total circumference, it would be 6 miles. To which they estimate today 2 million people could stand within those walls. 2 million people could stand within those walls. So this is what the estimate would be. It was magnificent. It was splendid. But what do we fully understand within this temple? This was the place where God resided with his people. God resided in the temple. When they was in the wilderness, they had the tabernacle, and God would reside in the tabernacle. Now we're in the temple, and God's saying to his people, I want to bring you back to where I can dwell amongst you. Now, as I've just mentioned, that was 2,700 years ago. Did the Israelites have that temple? No. They don't. Will we see that temple being rebuilt? Only God knows. But what we do know is that was the promise of God. A promise that was given before, and a promise that will be given again. We can stand firm in that knowledge of knowing that God will fulfill his promise. So, what was the real significance to saying this? The significance is such that God says he will be there. He will be there. But you say to yourself, how is that affecting me? Yeah? How is that impacting me today? Because like them Israelites that are living in hope, we also would live in hope if that was all we could put our hat on. But the reality is, Christ came to earth. Christ came to set us free. When Christ was hung upon the cross, he said, it is finished. The veil has been torn. Through that act of selflessness, through that act of repentance, paying our redemption, we now have that promise. Because the reality is today, we are the temple. And Christ dwells in us. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? How many of us truly live in that promise, live with the reality? Let me ask a question. And I ask myself this question as much as I ask it to you. Would we be acting the way we do sometimes? Thinking the things that we think, saying the things that we say, if God was standing there? Would we?
No.
I don't think we would. But why is it that the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us? Once we've received him as our Lord and Saviour, and we've repented, we're born again. The Spirit dwells within each and every one of us. But yet, we constantly, and I'm going to use this word again, we constantly whinge. Oh Lord, why? Why is this happening to me? God, why are you not answering my prayers? God, why haven't I won the lottery yet? Because I haven't bought a ticket. Why? It's not about material things. But how often do we look to God and say, I'm a failure. There must be something wrong with me because God ain't answering my prayers. God isn't giving me what I want, when I want, how I want. But the reality is, have we ever stopped to think that maybe God has something far greater than what we want? God has something far greater to give each and every one of us than what we are prepared to accept. God so loved us, Jesus was sent to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's how much God loves us. Yeah, that he was prepared to send his son down from heaven, take the form of a human being, to die the death he did upon the cross, that we could be back in reconciliation with him. Because that was always his desire. I said, he created us to walk in the cool of the day with him. We don't have to walk in the cool of the day today, because he's there. When we're watching the television, or when we're watching or watching something in the street, or listening, or speaking amongst our friends, he's there beside us. But do we truly stand in the fullness of what that is? God's ways are far greater than our ways. Again, scripture. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk with them and they will walk with me. I will be their God and they will be my people. God is proclaiming this. But are we living in it? Are we living in it? We've had today that we're to examine ourselves. We're talking about a new year with a new beginning. Well, let today be the day where we start walking in the fullness of what God has. Because God is here. He is here. He's in this room. Let's say thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. You're in the midst of what we are today. Let's accept that. Let's stand upon it. And let's fully understand it's God's desire. But you know, the most amazing thing that we have, that God has given us, is free will. Each and every one of us have been given free will. Free will enables us to have head knowledge, but it also enables us to have heart knowledge. And you know what? It's 18 inches from the head to the heart. But do you know that 18 inches can be the longest journey some people ever have to walk? Because to understand the fullness, when you have that heart knowledge, you know Christ is with you. Every storm you go through, every trial you face, every up, every down, he's there in the midst because he's there with you. But I encourage you today, 18 inches is all it is. Start to live in the fullness of what? Because when you start to live in that fullness, you then start to fully walk in the fullness of what he has for each and every one of us. And the trials that we face, the storms that we face, the distractions that we see. As I say, when Peter was asked to step out of the boat, it was only the fact that he saw the wind that he became distracted and he was sick. But before he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, he was able to do the supernatural. He was able to walk on the water. He didn't need anything that was of man. because he had supernatural power that God had given him, because he just looked and kept his eyes. His 18 inches had become a reality to him. So today, I just want to encourage each and every one of you to understand, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, what can stand against us? Yeah? If God is for us, what can stand against us?
Nothing.
Nothing. Can we all say this, please? Can we all repeat it after me? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Nothing. No situation. We can take Condado. We can take Camposol. We can take Murcia. We can take Spain.
Amen.
We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. When we start to accept and we have that head knowledge that becomes heart knowledge. I just ask you all this week just to make that your mantle for the next few weeks, until next week, until we're able to share it again. If God is for us, who can be against us? I know that I go through my own trials. I go through my own times of difficulty. And sometimes I don't even have that heart knowledge. But as I say to you, I also say to myself, when I start to live with the authority that Christ has given me, each and every one of us, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Because he is here. We don't have to go back to the Old Testament. We don't have to wait until we get to Revelation. We are here today. Christ is here. He said, I will leave you my counselor and my comforter. He promises it to you. In the same way that Ezekiel looked over that city and he saw the magnificence of what was to be, each and every one of you have that in you today. So if I can just really, really put that upon you, he never lets go. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storm of life, I will not turn back. I know you are near. Those were the words to a song, You Never Let Go. Now I'm going to just try it. It might not happen. But if it doesn't happen, we'll play How Great Thou Art, Phil.